And what a great 2.5 hours we've had so far. We're hearing stories we've never heard before. We're talking about the challenges we face for the future and celebrating how far we've come in the last 20 years. And trying to highlight how so many important decisions that were made, people were put in the right positions, and the right things happened at the right times to allow us to not only be thriving in many respects 20 years later, but just to be here at all. And one of the people who played a key role in that was Walt Leger Jr. Most of you know his son now from New Orleans and Company, but his
he's now known as the father of Walt Leger III.
He used to be Walt Leger's son. Now I'm Walt Leger's dad.
Yeah. Well, without you doing with the team that you had what you did after Katrina, he would not be able to do what he's doing now.
So. Oh, that's nice of you to say that. Thank you.
Tell folks who don't know, who is Walt Leger Jr.?
Who is Walt Leger Jr.? I'm just a country lawyer from the parish. grew up in St. Bernard Parish, went up north to college at LSU.
Up north.
Came back, went to Tulane, did maritime law. My grandfather was a ship captain. My dad was a ship captain. And went to a big law firm, formed my own firm, and just got involved in a lot of civic things, Chamber of Commerce, economic development, that kind of stuff. Actually knew Newell from those kind of days.
Yep.
And also I was one of the owners of the – I was a Jefferson Parish businessman as one of the owners and president of the New Orleans Zephyrs.
So after Katrina hits, your parish is devastated.
Totally devastated.
Completely. You're called upon to help figure out with your parish – underwater, knocked down, little to no hope, all of Southeast Louisiana to some varying degrees suffering the same thing. You're called upon to say, to figure out, how do we turn this around? How do we recover from this? And how do we have any hope of a future? How did that come to happen?
Well, what happened, first of all, is my son Walt and I were rolling around Baton Rouge, where we had evacuated to, and heard that on the radio that there were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people in a warehouse at the St. Bernard Port in the Chalmette Slip. And so we went to the TV station to find out what's the scoop. They put me on TV, and I gave my cell phone to people and said, hey, we can't get down to St. Bernard by roads. If you got a boat, call me, and we're going down there. Well, meanwhile, I got a call from the governor, governor's office, who I didn't know, went over to EOC. And
why did they call you?
Well, because they had heard me on the radio offering to take boats, and they were trying to figure out, how do we get to the parish? And they asked me, can you tell us how to get to the parish? Because it's all underwater. We can't go through the city, can't come from the North Shore. How about if can you go to the West
Bank?
There were
no twin spans. The antenna was gone.
So we actually went down from Baton Rouge down the West Bank, and we went to the Crescent City Connection offices, and we developed a plan. If the governor could get 85 buses from Baton Rouge, from North Louisiana, I literally commandeered the two ferries at Algiers, and we went down over a period of days and took 5,000 people out of St. Bernard. That had been kind of the people that had stayed and not evacuated, that had stayed, we brought them out. They were like zombies. They'd been there for several days. So in that way, I got connected to the governor, who I didn't know at the time. A few weeks later, I got a call from the governor while I was driving back and forth to Baton Rouge. She says, Ms. Leger, Governor Blanco. I said, oh, I pulled over on the side of the road. I don't want to lose the connection. She explained she was creating this group, the Louisiana Recovery Authority. It would be non-political. We would have Republicans and Democrats. We're going to go develop a plan for the redevelopment.
And you had proven you could save thousands of people.
I mean, I didn't save anybody. I just, you know,
but
got
you
a ferry.
Well, but you had to go there. You had to convince the ferry captain that you had the authority.
Which is a funny story in and of itself.
That you didn't necessarily
have.
That
I didn't really have authority. He asked me. He said,
he
you
was
work
fudging.
For
yeah, a little fudging.
I was with, you know, C.J. Blosch.
Yes.
And Captain Jack Levine of the bar pilots, who had taken me on their boat. And I said, look, I need you. We're going to take the ferries and go. He said, I work for the state. He said, He said, you work for the governor? And I looked at CJ and Jack. I said, well, yes, I work for the governor. He said, well, if you order me to do it, I work for the governor, then I'm going to do it. I said, I'm ordering you on behalf of the governor to do it.
And that's
and
my
CJ
point.
Blash said, Walter, you're going to get arrested. Thank God Newell wasn't around.
But that's my point. You did whatever it took to get thousands of people rescued.
People did that.
Well, yeah. You had to fudge and you had to push. And
yeah.
Let's not minimize. We're trying to recognize there were heroes in all corners and all places, and it took every one of those heroes at every level to get done what got done. But the governor recognized that, so now she wants you to help.
Well, she needed somebody do that from St. Bernard, too.
On a grander scale.
I guess. I was kind of the St. Bernard guy, I guess. But the tough part was, the interesting part was, when we met the first time, you know, with Norman Francis as chairman and Walter Isaacson vice chairman and Boise Bollin, some really big wheels, Donna Brazile, Mary Madeline, you know, some really important people. I was a little guy. They asked it, filled out, these are the task forces. What do you want to be on? I filled out, I wanted to be on every task force except housing. That's what I got appointed to chair. And I said, I know nothing about housing. I was economic development. I was a chamber guy, blah, 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 blah. And then later, when the governor and I got to know each other and we were having a martini or two in Washington, I asked the governor, why did you appoint me to head the housing and development task force? He said, two reasons. One, you had lost your home. And I knew you would understand what homeowners were going through. And secondly, you're a lawyer who litigates, and I needed someone to really criticize the program we were putting together on behalf of the homeowners.
What happened
to
your house?
And then to advocate in Washington.
What happened to your house?
We had 15 feet of water. The house that my son Walt and all my children grew up in, and the water, you know, in St. Bernard, it wasn't like New Orleans. The water rose slowly in New Orleans. In St. Bernard, there was a 30-foot storm surge. Jack Stevens, the sheriff, told me and showed me there was a big tower that had 30 feet high of marsh grass in it. There was a 70-foot shrimp boat in someone's front yard.
You actually had houses on a cement slab float.
Well, Jack was taking me through, and we saw an empty lot. He said, look at that. Put that in your mind. And it was like a crater in it. He says, now watch that. And we went down about 10 blocks, and there was a house on its slab, just what you're talking about, Newell, sitting in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
He said that house got picked up. And I'm not even talking about the ones that were all 2 or 3 feet off the ground that just got knocked over, like Walt's. Walt's house was knocked over. And hit one of his cars, we found it about 10 blocks away on top of a house. So, but yes, I asked Jack, I said, I want to know who the contractor is that built that house.
I actually went inside that house.
You did? Yeah. It was amazing, right?
Yeah.
And it was intact.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
For anyone who went down there after the storm, you couldn't go anywhere because that happened over and over and over. You'd get halfway down the street, there's a house
in the middle of the street.
So you back up, you go down the next street, there's four houses in the middle of that street. You go another street, there's a boat in the middle of that street. Trees, it was unbelievable.
Well, the governor flew us down in helicopters shortly afterwards. We landed in Lower Nine. Lower Nine looked like an atomic bomb and it hit it. Then we went to St. Bernard, and Jack Stevens had a convoy for us in what were purported to be police vehicles. They were something else than that, and took us around. And one of the guys on the recovery authority asked Walter, can you guys take us to, he asked the sheriff, you take us to a house and we can see the inside. You know, what's going on? And Jack looked at me and said, what do you think about number 20 Carolyn Court, Walter? That'll work. That was mine.
That was your house, yeah.
So we went there. I didn't tell them. And they went, and they were, oh, my God. I mean, there was 3 feet of mud. When it hit, there wasn't a slow rise. It was like a washing machine in there. Everything was ground. And the guy says, man, do you know the people that own this house? I said, I happen to know them. And Jack started kind of like, and the guy said, oh, wow. That's when it really occurred to them,
right,
when they knew someone who had been through it. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. But I wasn't alone. There were 27,000 homes in St. Bernard. What I read was 27,000 homes destroyed, 3 survived. And I'm still looking for those 3.
Those 3, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The stories we're hearing 20 years after.
But so eventually, our task was, Mississippi got a lot more money in relative terms than we did. and we had needs that were four or five times greater than theirs. And our task was, and some of the political operatives from both parties had to go to Washington and help negotiate for more money.
Well, Mississippi had a Republican governor. Louisiana had a Democratic governor.
I'm not going to make it political, but yes. And they had control of the House and the Senate. And by the way, there was a fellow who was Speaker of the House whose, I don't like to say his name, but his initials were Dennis Hastert, who basically said, we're not rebuilding. Maybe we shouldn't rebuild anything that's out, you know, that's in the flood zone. And, well, that got a lot of people upset, including the governor. Said, no, we are, that is our job to rebuild. And that's why everything was designed not just to give money, but to encourage people to actually rebuild.
Well, Dave interviewed me for one of our podcasts, and he asked about what I identified as some of the most difficult times and what surprised me, and I said it was the friction points between federal, state, local, local, and a lot of other things.
I would agree with that. There was a real friction point. And I think particularly at the state and the local level, we managed to make it work a little more easily, because in some cases, local government was hardly functioning.
Right.
You know, in St. Bernard, a bunch of the local guys had stayed, but they had 20 feet of water at the government complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
20
so functioned. 20 feet. They went up to the roof. The roof of the...
That's how they survived.
To survive, because they didn't know, when is it going to stop? And of course, in the smaller parish, Plaquemines Parish and others, the same way. I mean, you had water in Jefferson, but you didn't have that.
Yeah, it was.
You know, in New Orleans, it came up slowly, but I have a favorite police story. Walt and I, Walt was an assistant DA prosecuting felonies at the time, so he had a badge. Jack Stevens had given me a badge. And by the way, Newell gave me a badge ultimately, too. I lost my badge, and Newell says, you need a badge to get around. I said, yeah, I lost my badge from Jack Stevens. He reached over to one of his guys.
Took his badge off.
And he ripped the badge off his shirt. And he handed it to me. He said, raise your right hand. I said, okay. He said, do you swear? I said, I swear. He said, you're a deputy in Jefferson.
We won't say what he swore to. But
yeah, well, and there was probably a lot of swearing that went on.
But wait, the important thing is the badge said Chief Deputy Sheriff. So I was like just one rung below Newell. I was high up there. I told Jack Stevens about that. I said, I was just a regular deputy for you.
You were the deputy chief?
He was the chief deputy.
I was the chief deputy.
Chief
at the
deputy.
Time.
I was the deputy chief.
Deputy
I think
chief.
You had maybe two or three, right?
Yeah.
I had two stars on my little badge. Right. I still have it. I tried to give it back to him.
But you never use it.
I almost brought it with me.
Well, it's one of those interesting memento stories. I mean,
he's
it's
not
just,
answering,
you know,
folks.
It's one
but
of those things.
That's what we did.
You know, but that's what we
that's
did.
That's what we did. That's the point. He just said, hey, take a badge. It'll get you around. Because he knew I was doing good deeds.
I still recall the first time that Harry and I went down to St. Bernard together.
Jefferson Parish Sheriff Harry.
We had been, helping the St. Bernard Sheriff's Office and NOPD and others, and we went down there. We end up on we're on the levee. That's the only place to be.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Everything else was on the levee.
Everything was on the water.
And you're looking across, and it's kind of like, all right, where are we going to fish next week? Maybe right over there.
Right there, yeah. My front lawn.
The fish will start gathering around that
off
structure.
Off your roof, from the balcony.
I mean, it's not to make light of it, but it was one of those wow.
There were literally boats that were getting around that were tying off on the second floor balcony. It was.
We're talking with Walt Leger. When we come back, I want to know. After your service on the Louisiana Recovery Authority, everything you did, everything you went through, is this what you thought things would look like 20 years later? We'll get Walt to answer that question when we come back on WWL. We're talking with Walt Leger. And Walt, I was asking you before the break, and you had time to think about it. When you are on the Louisiana Recovery Authority, when you're going through all this fighting in Washington, D.C., fighting in Baton Rouge, fighting at the local level, you're trying to communicate this vision for the future and bring everything together just right. So not only can we invite people to come back and live here again, but that we can then have a viable business community where people can thrive and raise a family and all those things that we needed after the entire evacuation. Is this 20 years later what you envisioned?
Well, as you mentioned, we lost 18,000 businesses immediately. We had 240,000 people immediately unemployed. So it was more than just, and when we had a couple of 100,000 homes destroyed, so it was more than just rebuilding homes. And of course, you know, you talk about St. Bernard, all the police cars, all the sheriff's cars were destroyed. They actually found a few at the refinery, and they jump started the cars, and the sheriff painted SB, SO. On the side of the car, so it was a struggle. Yeah, the commandeered.
And
New Orleans police commandeered Cadillacs from Sewell Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little bit better than the ones Jack Stevens got. but in any event, today, we helped rebuild 130,000 homes. We returned another 12,000. 4,500 in St. Bernard, another 4,200 in New Orleans, and a thousand or two that had been sold to the state, returned them, to commerce. And so we did a really, as much as there were fumbles and mistakes, we did a pretty good job of rebuilding. But New Orleans is 100,000 people short population today. There were about almost 500,000, or about 380,000 today. Jefferson's lost some population.
About 20,000 less.
Yeah.
St. Bernard, Tammany. Plaquemines. They've gained 100,000.
St. Bernard was 67,000 before the storm. It's about 45 now. I was head of the Economic Development Foundation, and for a while I bragged we were the fastest growing county in America. You know, once you had one person move, and then another,
yeah,
we had 100% growth.
Zero, yeah. But you're right. St. Tammany gained 100,000. Tangipahoa gained 50,000.
Pat Brister was the president of St. Tammany, and she hired me, by the way, to represent them in the BP case. And she said, we now call our parish St. Tam Bernard, because about 20,000 people from the parish moved over there, and it's still there. So there was a lot of shifts in population. So, yes, there have been shifts. But is it what we would like to have happened? I would like to have seen more population come back.
We're still 7% as a region below where we were before.
But we also developed long-term strategic plans. Some things are better. And some things are, like in St. Bernard, some things are a lot better. But there's still a reduced population. The tax base is less. The services are still good. You know, police protection is good. The schools are pretty good. But there have been shifts. I guess back then, honestly, we were so worried about working from day to day. You know, moving. I don't know that I ever thought we would make 20 years. I certainly didn't think I'd ever be this old, you know.
Neither do we.
and we should note, you've beaten cancer three times.
Three times.
Since then.
Yeah, you can't kill bad weed. You know, so.
Well, thank you for everything you did.
Thank you, guys. And thanks for what you always do.
Well,
and by the way, I wanted to tell you, because I spoke to Garland Robinette yesterday. Garland asked me to tell you guys hello particularly. He messaged you. We missed him.
Absolutely.
WWL has been such a great part of us coming back then. And, of course, today. So thank you.
Well, thank you for everything you did. And maybe it's not exactly what you envisioned, and maybe we're not quite there yet, but we've still got time because you're still here.
I'm still vertical.
Yeah. And we'll hear from Garland Robinette tonight at 7 o'clock.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
On a special here on WWL. He's Walt Leger. We'll be back to wrap things up and check in with Scoot after this.